This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Rick, still without internet, living that Amish life out on the island. And Mr. Canty, I'll tell you, I could not make it for, we talked about this yesterday, I could not make it for 3 or 4 days without any cable or internet or anything right now. I would move into a Panera or a Starbucks, but you can't even stay in there right now. I mean, I guess I'd move into the parking lot like he's done.
See, this is when you got to have some close friends or family where you don't mind hanging out with them for a couple of days if they have power. That's exactly what you need in these times if you don't have power.
Yeah. But
yeah, I take it from you. You're not the typical Boy Scout. You're not going to go out there and be able to fend for yourself with no power.
Well, I mean, I'll make something work. I'll find a way to make something work, but I am not the kind of guy that you want coming over to your house and hanging out for a couple of days. I mean,
why would you say something like that?
Because
you seem like you're the everyman. You seem like a guy's guy.
I am the everyman, but after a while, you're going to get a little tired of me asking where you keep the chips. I mean, this is a problem.
Well, see, I didn't say you could go over somebody's house empty-handed now. I mean, it's customary to bring a 12, right? Like, that's just standard operating procedure.
Well, I usually bring an 11-pack and take one right out of the 12. That's how we start. 800-919-3776. Carlin in for Dave today, along with Mr. Canty, up until noon. Islanders playoff hockey game 4 against the Panthers coming up then. And, Chris, it's absolutely 100% official. The Yankees have a major problem on their hands, and I understand that nobody wants to hear about the first world problems of the New York Yankees, but this starting pitching beyond Tanaka is a major problem. And so I'm going through last night, and I'm getting ready to do the podcast, Savages in the Box, by the way, Yankees podcast, mm-hmm. every day, Monday through Friday. And I'm going through the numbers of the other starters. I'm not counting the opener here.
Okay.
The other starters not named Gerrit Cole so far.
All right.
3 1/3 they are averaging. And an 8.1 ERA.
Ooh. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, the ERA gets a little better when you include the starter or the openers. But, you know, the distance, the length is what I'm most concerned about right now.
No, as you should be. I mean, you want your starters to be able to go out there and at least give you 5 quality innings. I mean, we all recognize that it's early in the season and the ramp up was a little bit strange. I think they only had like 3.5 weeks. So it's not like the starting pitchers had the opportunity to get into their normal routine that they would before a season in spring training. But, I mean, your starters have got to be better. Like yesterday, Jordan Montgomery was terrible. He was terrible. He's got to be better. There's no excuse for it. Jay Happ in the matinee of the doubleheader was terrible the day before. Like, they've got to be better. And so, I mean, I'm not going to push the panic button because we're still talking about a team that's 20% through the season and they're 9-3. So I feel good about where the Yankees are at. We know they're going to be a playoff team. And we know that they have 2 pitchers that we trust if they're healthy in Gerrit Cole and Masahiro Tanaka in the postseason. The biggest question is who's going to be that third arm that you can rely on. We thought that would be James Paxton, especially what we had been hearing coming out of spring training and then summer training 2.0, but he's gotten off to an awful start to this season. So it's just kind of like we don't know where he's going to be at post-back surgery. So there are some question marks with the starting pitching staff, but the biggest being what's going to happen with James Paxton, and is he going to be that third starter that you can rely on in the postseason to take the hill?
Normally, I wouldn't get this wound up about this. Even if we were in a normal regular season where you were in the early part of August, they seemingly would have addressed a need or two, if not for the normal trade deadline. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even be panicking at this point. And again, I would strongly suggest I'm not quite using the word panic yet. However,
there's no reason to panic, right? Because we know the Yankees are going to be in the postseason.
But
continues to be a problem, Brian Cashman has the ammunition to address it.
Right, but I have 2 concerns here. Number one, the playoff structure for this season. And number two, the fact that what great starting pitcher is going to become available here in the next 3 weeks? Or what, or even what very good starting pitcher? Maybe a guy like Mike Minor or something like that, maybe. But that doesn't feel to me like a guy that definitively solves the problem. And
No. I don't look at Mike Minor as the solution for a guy that we want in a postseason start. No.
Exactly. So, no. Yeah. So that problem is not easily solved. But, Chris, here's the bigger issue. And because we know they're going to be in the playoffs, because we know they're perfectly well-constructed to go dominate in the regular season, but the Yankees are consistently about the playoffs, and the season is already 20% over. Mm-hmm. Two out of three in round one, no matter if you're the top seed or the bottom seed, would scare the daylights out of me. And I know you feel good about your first two, but you know, in a scenario like that, I might even think about trying to hold back Gerrit Cole for a game three if there was one. And you know, if I win the first two games, great, but I don't know who I would start in the third game.
Yeah, I don't know about holding back Gerrit Cole in game one.
In that scenario, no. I'd think about it.
No, I don't know if I would, man. I mean, you can't get too far ahead of yourself. You can't count the wins before they actually happen. And you paid the guy $324 million this offseason for a reason. The first postseason game, he is going to be the starter. There's no question about that. And game two is going to be, you know, if we keep seeing the same thing from Paxton, game two is going to be Tanaka. So, I mean, it becomes a question of can James Paxton right himself in time in order to instill the confidence in Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman that he's going to be the guy in a postseason start. And knowing that all you need in a postseason start is for this guy to go out and give you five innings. That's all you need. Give us five innings. We can turn it over to the bullpen and close the door on the opposing team's lineup. That's what you're looking for. But, yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit concerned about the starting pitching as well. Like, there's going to have to – there's going to have to be some tweaks if we keep seeing what we're seeing beyond Gerrit Cole in the rotation. No question about it.
And I think that with that being the case, I don't know what that tweak is. Maybe that tweak is somebody like a Clark Schmidt. You know, he's a guy that they looked at a little bit in camp, and they have some depth. But these, Chris, given their situation, and I know you don't want to count the wins before you have them. Mm-hmm. But these are guys that I might start looking at when you have these doubleheaders to play. You know, they're going opener on Saturday. But look at how much the pen has been used so far. And I know they haven't pitched all season. I know, but when you have the strange ramp up and all that, I don't want to run those guys into the ground in the early part of the year.
No, you don't want to run them into the ground in the early part of the year, but that's when you rely on guys like Luis Sessa and Jonathan Loaisiga and David Hale and Jonathan Holder. And those two guys did a good job last night. Like, Hale and Holder did a pretty good job. They gave you four scoreless innings. So, I mean, they gave you a shot to stay in the game. And we saw that the Yankees came close. Gary Sanchez with that two-run knock in the seventh inning, which was nice to see. Caught a fastball on the outer half and took it the opposite field. Like, if the guys in the bullpen can keep the game close, you know that somebody in that lineup is going to be capable of doing damage and manufacturing some offense. So, I mean, that's really what you want. We talk about this starting pitching as a huge concern, but the way that Brian Cashman built this team, it wasn't around starting pitching. It was around a really strong lineup and the best bullpen in baseball. And so all you need your starting pitching to do outside of Gerrit Cole is just not to go out there and lose it for you. So that's a pretty low bar to clear in the regular season. I think you can give yourself an opportunity to get a look at some of your young guys like Clark Schmidt. I think that's the perfect opportunity for that. We'll see if they decide to go that route, but I think that's all contingent on what we see from Paxton, what we see from Montgomery, what we see from Happ moving forward.
Now, I do want to play this one cut from Boone last night about it, because as you would expect, he is not – you know, jumping off the building quite yet about the fact that they have not gotten good length from their starters so far.
The way our roster's constructed, you know, it does allow us to have some couple more arms in the bullpen. Nothing beats several outings from your starters that give you length that really kind of preserve and set everyone up down there in that pen. And obviously a couple guys were working back and Massa building him up, hoping to get Paxton rolling like we know he's capable of. So on the long haul, we got to do a little better job of that.
I am so interested in seeing Paxton on Sunday. I'm fascinated.
It's a big start for him, CC.
It really is.
That's a huge start for him. Like, I mean, you know, you're talking about him giving confidence to Booney and the guys in the clubhouse and the Cashman about what he's going to bring to the table. But how about just giving himself some confidence? Like, at some point, you start to wonder, like, am I really going to ever get back from this back thing? I mean, you don't hear about guys getting older and their backs getting better. So, I mean, a question mark about his performance, you know, it's legitimate. Like, we don't know what kind of pitcher he's going to be post-back surgery, and that was a concern. But based on all the things we had heard throughout spring training, and then when they came back to resume and get ramped up for the season, James Paxton looked phenomenal. Like, that's what we had heard.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a very different story play out as the season has gotten underway. So I'm just – you wonder, are we going to see the same James Paxton ever? And this is a walk year for him. So you know the guy is motivated. He wants to pitch well. But the question is whether or not he can pitch well. If his velocity can't get out of the low 90s with his fastball, he's going to have a problem.
Oh, a major problem. Because what makes him so good is the ability to throw the ball at 96, 97.
And then change speeds with that curveball.
Yeah, that curveball, that slider, whatever it is, that dives into right-handed hitters.
That Uncle Charlie.
it is brutal on right-handed hitters. And look, this was not supposed to be the issue. This was not supposed to be the problem because we had talked so much about needing to go get an ace. Well, they did that, and then one of the other key pieces is not performing at that level because of this surgery. I am just hopeful at this point, if I were a Yankee fan, that this truly is him ramping back up. But the way he's talked about it so far, Chris, he sounds concerned about where his velocity is.
Well, I'm sure he is. I mean, it's got to be frustrating to go out there and think you've got something and you can't quite get to where you once were as an athlete. Like, I'm sure that he's trying to find answers, and I'm not sure that there are any because, I mean, again, when you start talking about a guy that had a major back surgery this offseason, there's going to be a question of whether or not he's ever going to be the same player until he goes out and he proves that he's capable of having those same type of performances. So, yeah, we felt good about James Paxton after last postseason and him having that Yankees moment in that Astros series. But, I mean, that's not the guy that we've seen on the mound in 2020. And until we see some semblance of the Paxton we saw in 2019, there's always going to be that question mark. The only problem with that is you're talking about this season being a sprint, not a marathon, and you're going to run out of chances in order for James Paxton to flash enough to give you confidence that he's going to be good in a postseason start.
Now, one thing off of that I was thinking about a lot watching last night, especially after the first inning when Real Muto homered again, was it wasn't that long ago, prior to the 2019 season, where there was a lot of talk around the Yankees trying to get Syndergaard, and it would have involved a Real Muto trade with the Mets and the Marlins, a three-way deal. But then there was also discussions about them trying to go and get Real Muto on their own. Now, Jeter and the Marlins tried to hold him up, okay? They wanted Sanchez and Andujar, which I would think we would all agree you would never want to give that much up in return. But yeah. The Yankees were apparently willing to give up, or were not willing to give up, wouldn't even have done just a Sanchez straight up. And Chris, as I look forward here, so he homers last night, but...
And I think he's like, 3 for 30 on the season?
Right. And, all right, maybe he's not snapping great out of it. They're talking about his timing. As a player overall, how long can you continue to hold on to him given the remarkable inconsistency with which he plays?
Oh, man. I mean, you're going to try to give him every opportunity, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy when he's rolling that can hit 30 to 35 home runs. And if you have that at the catcher position, you have a distinct advantage against pretty much every team in baseball. So I can understand why Brian Cashman is giving him a long leash because the talent is undeniable. It's just being able to get it consistently out of him. And that's the part about it where you just – you don't know about Gary Sanchez, right? The sports psychology of it. I mean, the Yankees moved on from Joe Girardi because Joe Girardi had, you know, that iron fist. He kind of hovered over the players, and he had that intensity that didn't relent. And players don't necessarily respond the best to that, especially today's athletes. And one of those guys that, you know, we had the question about on whether or not he was going to respond well to Girardi's managerial style was Gary Sanchez. And so they moved on from Girardi. They went with Aaron Boone. And, you know, it's kind of been a mixed bag the last couple of years with Sanchez. And so, yeah, I the potential is there. But as Bill Parcells used to always say, potential means you just haven't done it yet. And with Gary Sanchez, we haven't consistently seen him put it together enough to give us full confidence that he is going to find himself and right himself when he gets into these types of slumps.
I never have a problem when you have players that go through slumps. Every player goes through a slump. The problem is his slumps last 2 months.
You
can't afford that. Yeah. And so it just has me thinking forward here a little bit, tying into what we were just saying. And I know how this is going to sound. And I understand that it might be a little bit even annoying for a Yankee fan to hear it. But there is a scenario under which, if there is truly a star pitcher who's available, who's got another year or two left of control, and I don't know who that guy is right now, okay? I can't put a name to a face because of where we are in this bizarre season. Mm-hmm. But if there were a guy that we truly felt was a difference maker for the Yankees this year, Real Muto is somebody that I'm looking at for the future, who's a free agent after this year. Mm-hmm. I might consider dealing Sanchez in the right deal this during the season this year. Now, it's a little bit crazy just because they seem to, and very unlikely, because they do seem very pleased with what he's doing defensively and how he's working with the pitching staff.
Yes. Yes. Especially with Gerrit Cole. Right, yeah. Because a few days ago, Gerrit Cole singled him out, and he said, listen, he called an awesome game behind the dish. And when you have your ace praise your catcher for calling a great game, you don't want to disrupt that flow that he's got for the game. You don't want to do anything that could throw Gerrit Cole off, because he's a guy that you're relying heavily on, knowing all the question marks that you have in your starting rotation behind him. So I hear what you're saying about Gary Sanchez, but then you have to look at your alternative, like who's going to be your catcher. It would have been different if you still had Austin Romine, but you got Kyle Higashioka. Do you feel great about him being your everyday catcher?
No.
All right.
Especially after what I saw the other day.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, I don't know if we necessarily want to go down that road with championship aspirations this season. But it's an interesting proposition once we get past this year and into the offseason. Because you could acquire Real Muto and all you'd be spending is money.
Right.
And he is one of the best offensive catchers in the game.
And that's the thing. Like, for me, you look at that guy and he's going to be more consistent at the plate. He may not hit 35 home runs, but he hits 25.
There you go. And you can win with that.
Yeah. I mean, he drove in more runs than Sanchez did last year. He drove in 83 runs. Yeah. So he's hitting cleanup in that lineup. And defensively, it's not close. I mean, Gary's improved. And what I do enjoy about how he is handling himself right now is he's clearly not taking it into the field with him like he did in years past.
No, it's not. It's not. And that's growth from a player, right? That's yep. That's a sign of growth. He's 27 years old, so he's still relatively young, and he still has time to figure it out. It's just a matter of how patient Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone want to be.
Yeah. I think at this point, with how he is offensively, considering there's not a truly better option, he's not hitting the bench anytime soon.
No.
If he is not snapping out of this like they seem to think that he is. But, you know, I always raise an eyebrow or two to that kind of stuff, because when guys are in slumps, you always hear managers and coaches and such say, well, you can see that he's close. You know, you hear that all the time. And that was he hit it hard yesterday for the home run, and maybe his timing is coming back a little bit. But that real inconsistency, as lengthy as it is, just absolutely drives me nuts.
No, and it should, but you see that from young players, right? You see young players, you know, they're erratic. There's a lot of really high highs, and then there's a lot of lows. And you just, as they get older, you look for them to kind of stabilize and be more consistent. you know, and you want them to be somebody that you can depend on. You know what you get from game to game, week to week, and so on. And so Gary Sanchez is getting around that time where you start to see that player become a lot more consistent. The only problem is he hasn't. And that's why I say, you know, it's hard for everybody to have confidence that he's ever going to fully realize all the potential that we've seen in him throughout the years and become that guy that's that dominant force, that presence in your lineup. You know what I mean? Like when you got Aaron Judge, you know what you're going to get from Aaron Judge. Even if he's in a slump, he's a bat that you got to deal with. Like he has a plan. He's going to put together a quality at bat. He's going to put pressure on the opposing pitcher and the opposing defense. And if nothing else, he's going to pass the baton to the next guy in the lineup. Whereas with Gary Sanchez, there are times he just looks lost at the plate. Like he's just flailing away. And that's the part that you want to see him eliminate out of his game. Like even when you're going through a slump, you know, when you start talking about the guys that you trust the most, they're able to right themselves in short order. And as you mentioned earlier, Gary Sanchez, this is one of those things that could be months. And that's the part that he's got to change. We'll see if he's able to grow. But, I mean, this is, again, not the most opportune time for him to be dealing with this, just knowing what kind of season we got in 2020. It's only 60 games. You only have but so much time.
Right. Now, one last one on the Yankees. And we're going to hit the calls here early, so get on board at 800-919-3776. He did not start last night, but he comes off the bench, and all the guy does is hit.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of consistency and short slumps when he has them, Yankees can't let DJ LeMahieu hit the open market.
Oh, no.
That's something that if they're not talking about it right now, they should be talking about it right now. They should be talking about it because it is later in the year, shorter season. I don't want him to get to the offseason because that – I think I'm going to be able to outbid everybody else. Sure. But this is a guy that seems very comfortable here, and maybe I can get something done now.
Yeah, I mean, DJ LeMahieu, what he means to your team, not just offensively, but defensively as well. I mean, he can play three positions in your infield. He gives you a lot of versatility and flexibility with your lineup. You know what I mean? I like him as a second baseman, and you got that middle infield with him and Gleyber Torres. I like that tandem. Mm-hmm. And so you'd like to be able to try to keep that intact for years to come. I mean, LeMahieu's good, man. What can I say? This guy comes up with big hits and big spots, and then he's going to be solid in the field. Like, he's a reliable player. And, you know, that's the thing that fans have to understand. With championship-caliber teams, it's not necessarily about having all the star players. It's about having guys that are reliable, guys that are consistent, guys you can depend on. And you can trust DJ LeMahieu. And so, yeah, I'm with you on this one. I don't think you want to mess around with that one. Just get that taken care of so he can be in the fold for years to come.
What are you thinking here? This is obviously not a seven-year deal. This is like
this is probably a three-year deal.
Three or four, yeah.
Yeah, a three or four-year deal, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe
he's 31 years old. That makes sense.
Yeah, if you did a four-year deal, he strikes me as a guy that at 35, we're not going to be sitting here saying, wow, that was an albatross and a huge mistake of a contract.
No.
I don't see that at all.
No, because he's not that kind of baseball player, right? It's not like he's all about trying to have power numbers. It's about him putting the ball in play and being able to take advantage of, you know, opportunities, take advantage of mistakes from pitching when he gets them. I mean, this guy gets a lot of hits. I mean, the guy's already got 18 hits and he's only had 42 at-bats. Think about that. He's batting over 400. It's unbelievable, man. This guy's a machine.
He really is. He is just that. He is a machine. And, again, the consistency part of it. Now, he is somebody that had won a batting title before he got here, but everybody's always going to raise their eyebrow whenever it's Colorado. They're just going to look at it and wonder how much of that played into it. But with everything that he offers you, I look at him and I thought he was the MVP last year considering everything they went through.
Yeah.
And I think he's truly the most valuable player that they have because of all the different things that he can do and how reliable he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's right there. Like, he's right there. He's one of the most – like, last year he was – you could make an argument that he was the MVP of the team. That's how good he was last year. I mean, and he's off to another fantastic start this year. I'm just starting to think that this is who DJ LeMahieu is.
Yeah.
And that's great. Like, that's something, somebody that you could have at the top of your lineup. He's going to set the table for everybody else. He's going to get on base, and he's going to create opportunities for scoring for Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. And that's exactly what you want. So I don't know why you would even flirt with the idea of letting this guy get to the open market.
800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. So it's all there. The Yankees starting pitching, a mess outside of Gerrit Cole right now. The continued struggle, so to speak, even though he homered last night, of Gary Sanchez. And is he snapping out of it? And how do you approach Gary Sanchez for the long term? Because it's going to be a big question here over the next month or two when somebody like Real Muto becomes a free agent in the offseason. Everybody down in Philadelphia has been pushing hard for the organization to sign him, but they haven't given any indication that that's happening as of yet. So, you know, looking at that situation, getting into that, and also LeMahieu and not letting him go. It's all on the table for the Yankees. We've got plenty more on the Mets. 10 games with the Marlins in 3 weeks. Is it too much to ask to beat up on a bad team? And don't give me 6-1 to start. Don't. They're not a good baseball team. We'll discuss it all, but we want you involved in the program next. It's Carlin in for DiPietro. Actually in for Dave. Rick's not here. He's got no internet as of yet. Oh, Godspeed out on Long Island. Things are just, I think it's 300,000 people in the tri-state area are still without power right now.
Wow.
And could be until early next week. Oh my God.
That's crazy.
That is a mess.
Just chalk it up to 2020, man. This has been a crazy year.
I got to tell you, I'm getting a little tired of chalking things up to 2020.
I know, man. 2021 can't get here fast enough, right? It can't get here fast enough. I'm over it already.
Oh, my God.
Like Ricky said, he wanted to opt out of 2020. I was ready to opt out, too. Throw in the towel. Throw the damn towel.
Could somebody please send me to the alternate site? I'd like to see what that looks like right now.
Exactly.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.